Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is Ashley Meyer with Prevent Connect, and today I'm very excited to have two guests who I very recently saw speak at the NASPA conference, which is the National Association of Student Affairs Professionals. And the title of their presentation was Queering the Curriculum, LGBTQ Inclusivity and Sexual Assault Prevention. So I'm joined by Molly McClay and Alex Nelson. Hi, Molly.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. And hello, Alex, as well.
Hi there, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having us.
Molly McClay is the Assistant Director of the Women's Resource Center at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, which happens to be my undergraduate alma mater, so very exciting. And we'll be talking about the FICARE program, which is First Year Campus Acquaintance Rape Education. And Molly coordinates the FICARE program. Alex Nelson is a graduate student at the School of Social Work and the graduate assistant for the FICARE program. So I welcome both of you and thank you for joining us here today on Prevent Connect. And why don't you just get started by telling us more about the FICARE program and really what it is?
It's one of the oldest sexual assault prevention programs for undergraduates in the country. It's been in existence since the late 80s as a voluntary program. And then around 1995, university students and staff pushed for it to become mandatory. So every first-year student must take this workshop.
Well, it has been around for a long time. And, you know, interestingly, I was a participant in FICARE in 1997. We discovered that during the workshop. And it's exciting for me to hear about the changes that have been made. But first, can you tell us just more about the components of FICARE?
Yeah, sure. All right. So it's a two-hour workshop, and it's kind of broken down into 45, 50-minute segment, where the group as a whole, we kind of have a little bit of an intro, and then we get into some definitions about what, you know, sexual assault actually is and how it's defined.
We talk a lot about sexual misconduct under our student code, as well as Title IX and sexual harassment.
Yeah, and then from there on, we kind of talk more about consent, what consent actually is, what it looks like. And in order to kind of illustrate that, we compare it to what coercion is and what coercion looks like. Then from there on, we kind of discuss effects of sexual assault, both physical, emotional, and social. Everyone gets into groups and kind of talks about those. But that kind of sets the stage for what the whole purpose of the workshop is, and that is really how to support survivors, busting rape myths. We do spend another section talking about the role of drugs and alcohol in sexual assault cases, or at least as it pertains to healthy negotiations of consent. Then we break up, and those breakout groups are pretty different, and the conversations were always highly gendered. And then everyone would come back together, and we would talk about how to get involved if people want to.
Well, great. And so it was a few years ago, correct, that you really started looking at the inclusivity and what changes needed to be made to increase inclusivity of that curriculum, yes?
Yeah, definitely.
Some of the issues that I saw and a lot of other students saw was how the material of the FICARE workshop was so gendered. And I think that this is true of a lot of sexual assault prevention education programs. We tend to really gender this material based under the assumption that women are most likely going to be survivors and men are most likely going to be perpetrators. People who are not heterosexual may have felt like this workshop isn't really representing my experiences. The issues for trans inclusivity were especially prevalent in the fact that we had men's and women's breakout groups. For a trans person, no matter how they identify, that might be a really difficult decision to have to make. Students were demanding to make it more LGBT friendly. So we realized that there were some issues and we definitely needed to address them and make people feel safe in any way that we could.
Mm-hmm. It's a difficult balance because sexual assault is a crime that occurs in a highly gendered system. I mean, when we remain locked in those gender roles when we're providing that education, then that's almost reinforcing the gender roles that sexual assault is so firmly interlinked with.
Yeah, you know, that really stuck with me how you said that that was a struggle, and I think that that would resonate with, you know, a lot of our audience, a lot of folks who are doing this work, is that struggle, that balance between, well, so how do we make this more inclusive, but how is it that we also can still acknowledge kind of the maybe gendered nature of the phenomena of sexual violence, which is a pretty delicate balance, but like you just said, you're looking at, but how are we actually providing this programming? And that's the piece where you made the changes.
Yeah, thinking of this in a really intersectional way, recognizing that we're not just dealing with an issue of patriarchy, we're dealing with an issue of cis-heteropatriarchy and all sorts of intersectional oppressions when looking at this work. And I think taking that intersectional approach can help us still maintain eye on sexism and patriarchy while also expanding it to other forms of oppression that are interplaying with sexual assault as well.
The way that we were providing the programming was the hardest thing to fix. But I think one way of doing it that we realized was that we can firmly acknowledge the statistics that 95 or 99% of sexual assaults are committed against women by men.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that we decided to emphasize is that even though those are the statistics and that's the reality of sexual assault, anybody can be a perpetrator and anybody can be a survivor potentially, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity.
Alex and I got to talking about how important it is, in addition to educating these peer facilitators about heterosexism and its intersections with violence, but also cissexism and violence as well, which cissexism would be the belief that a cisgender identity is normal, natural, and right, and any other gender identity or associated gender expression is abnormal. So we added that to the curriculum, and after that happened, I knew there was a charge to look at LGBTQ inclusivity in the script. We sat around for a while trying to figure out what are we going to do?
Basically.
But we're going to do it, but how?
Well, and so what were those specific changes that you made?
Well, one of the major things that we did was strip the entire script of any gender pronoun. Instead, we used gender-inclusive pronouns like they, them, and theirs. We also flat-out mentioned we do have a lot of different identities on our campus, and we do talk about those within the script when we do the icebreakers and giving the rules of what this dialogue is going to look like, just acknowledging these identities and experiences and validating them. We also didn't really know how to address the format until we decided that we were going to have two different kinds of workshops. All the content was going to be the same, but when people sign up, they can choose between either a workshop with men's and women's breakout groups, or they can have workshops with groups that are not broken up by gender at all.
That was one of the harder parts. They'll get to talk about risk reduction, bystander intervention resources, and survivor options in their breakout group no matter what. The content needed to be the same in all the workshops so that facilitators wouldn't be confused, so students wouldn't miss out on anything, so it wouldn't skew any data.
Both groups do get risk reduction behavior, and we have a men-only group. It's like, why do we have to know risk reduction behavior?
Mm-hmm.
They're taught nothing bad can ever happen to them.
And yeah, and I think it really pulls on the facilitators to tailor the workshop to that group and also engaging people in different ways.
That's really great to hear about the success. It was exciting to see, you know, on the screen with your graphs of, you know, statistical significance and all of that. Yeah, I've been talking with Molly McClay and Alex Nelson from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And Molly and Alex, when it comes to FICARE, the first year campus acquaintance rape education program, what would you say to folks who are listening and who are thinking, you know, I think we really need to work on making our education program more inclusive?
One thing I realize is that 90%+ of the literature suggests separating the genders. One thing that I found is that mixed gender programming does work, and in the meta-analysis it was found to be just as effective as split gender programming. So there's really nothing to lose. Being able to make them feel safe and comfortable in that space is definitely worth the risk.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the training of the facilitators is pretty important. And I think as we've made the program more inclusive in this particular area, it's expanded into more inclusivity in general. Ever since we rolled out these changes, we've noticed a lot more diversity in the students who choose to become facilitators. So that was something we didn't necessarily anticipate happening, but are super glad that it did.
Thank you so much, Molly and Alex. It was really great to watch your presentation at the NASPA conference and to see kind of from, you know, all the way back in the 1990s when I took it to where it is today in 2015, the changes that have been made and the success that you've gotten from adding, you know, really improving the inclusivity of this program. And as you had both said, you know, we can still approach this as a gendered crime, but make it more inclusive, make it more relevant and more effective for everybody. And I think that's essentially what you all are doing. And thank you for sharing how you did that with us.
Absolutely. We, again, thank you for having us on. And if if anyone, you know, would like to reach out to us for assistance or just ideas, you could certainly look us up at the University of Illinois Women's Resources Center under the FY Care program. We're happy to help.
Definitely. So thank you so much for having us.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.